Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 3, the scriptures talk about to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So right there you see God giving the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So let's talk about the spirit of heaviness, part two. Praise the Lord. We have to speak about the spirit of heaviness because when this spirit arrests you, it will be difficult for you to pray. And this is our month of prayer. These are some of the unspoken truth that will make someone not have the appetite to pray and not to be able to develop the custom or the culture of praying consistently or praying without ceasing. And we try to give some scriptural nuances to how the spirit functions. It's a heaviness that has a direct impact on our faithfulness in life. And faithfulness is important because the believer is going to see incremental progress because the believer is faithful to God, is faithful to man, is faithful to the work he or she does, is faithful fidelity in marriage and all of that. Bible said, he that is faithful with a little, he shall receive more, or more shall be given to the person. And one of the reasons why we have to still continue to deal with the spirit of heaviness is what the book of James says in James chapter 4 verse 9. We can read it together. James 4:9. James 4:9 makes us understand in the King James that be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. So there is such a phenomenon as someone's laughter turning to mourning and someone's joy turning to heaviness. In the spirit, it is a reality, it's a possibility that someone's joy can turn into heaviness. Are you with me? Are you sure? Is it there? Your joy to heaviness. So joy can simply dissipate and heaviness can take over. May heaviness not take over your joy in Jesus' name. So we have to learn how heaviness takes over joy so that we will have the ammunition in scripture to ensure that heaviness does not take over joy, because the will of God is not for heaviness to take over our joy. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? If you are with me, say, I'm with you, Pastor. If you are with me, say, I'm with you, Pastor. Praise God. Now, one of the, we will learn a few things about heaviness, but one of the things that I found about heaviness is the fact that last week we talked about sadness. Please, you need to listen to the second service last week. That one of the tools or instruments that the spirit of heaviness uses is sadness. And sadness is powerful because it can just alter the way you function. It can attack your spirit. It can attack your emotions. It can attack your heart. And we spoke about one of the reasons that this sadness will come will be that when you encounter ruins or damages or distractions. In this service, we are going to bring back some foundational stuff, you know, about the sadness. It's one of the things that the Bible uses, you know, simultaneously with sadness is sorrow. What is it? You can talk about weeping, you can talk about mourning, you can talk about sorrow. So let us dwell on the matter of sadness and sorrow for a while. Because When we are going on a journey like this, saturation is important. So that everyone will come to that place where they will be able to yield and open up for God to help. To help you come out of that pit of heaviness, that pit of sadness, and all of that. Tell somebody you are coming out today. By the special grace of God, I see you coming out. Praise the Lord. So one of the things that is connected to heaviness is sorrow. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13, Proverbs 14, 13, talks about the fact that even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful. The end of that mirth is heaviness. Can we read it in Message? Even in laughter, the heart can be sorrowful. Sure, those people appear to be having a good time. But all that laughter will end in what? Heartbreak. Why are you not free in church? I mean, keep us house, we are always free. The Spirit of the Lord is here, so we are always free. Praise the Lord. It's a spiritual therapy session by truth. So, there are people who appear to be having a good time, but deep-seated in their heart is sorrow. It's a heartbreak. So that's why some people cannot be excited. You crack a joke, they won't laugh. They are not exciting. When you are around them, they cannot excite you. They don't have any joy to give you. They are not infectious with joy. Because deep inside their heart, it's a heartbreak. Deep inside their heart, it's a sorrow. Let's go to the King James. Deep inside their heart is the fact that there is heaviness in there and they can't shake it off. The thing about heaviness is that it's like darkness. Bible calls it gross darkness in Egypt, where the people could feel it and you can't shake it off. And sometimes when you even try to shake it off, it refuses to shake off. So you pray a prayer, God, I beg. And sometimes when the prayer is not working, if God I beg is not working, you pray, God, I take God beg you. Help me shake this thing off. Praise the Lord. Oh God. So we know that the end of that matter is that not everyone laughing today has a hope that that laughter is sustainable. Because when they resolve, what will take over is the heaviness. Let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse number 23. It said, for all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also what? Vanity. I mean, Solomon is addressing some of the vanities of life, and he's saying that there are people, no matter how you see them to be on top, enjoying life, the matter is that all the days of their lives are full of what? Sorrows. And they travail with grief. He said, yeah, the heart, his heart taketh not rest. So one of the things that the spirit of heaviness would do is to project sorrow to your heart. And when that happens, then your heart cannot be at rest. Like we said, there are people who sleep in the night, but they never have rest. His heart taketh not rest in the night. You see? And he said, this one is vanity. That means it will waste your life. Are you here with me at all? And the reason why the night is important is because the scriptures, it's making reference to the night being important for rest, because your true rest is not in the day. Your true rest is when all the dust settles and you are alone in your bed. You are alone in your, you have secluded in your personal place. That's when the real you is revealed to you. That's why I took God to beg God. God, I take God beg you. You understand? You can be everywhere, everything to everyone, but the real you is when you withdraw to yourself. Are you here at all? One of the things I will say to you for free is that if the bad news is not an urgent news, don't tell someone in the night. Some time ago, someone lost the child, and I happened to be around to help the person go through the grief. So I took the child from the one mortuary to another mortuary. Charlie, I was doing mortuary man stuff. If you were a pastor, you would do all these things. So the parent of the child, the father wanted to go and see the child, only child. You know, as I took the child around 4 p.m. thereabout to a private funeral home, and he so wanted to go, I said, no, we fought, sir, me and the father of the child. And I gave the private one, I said, Nami, bring the dead body. If you allow anybody to watch today, I will see you. Because the parent also lived very close to the private whatever. And the reason why, from my counseling background, I would not let that happen. I said, you can only have a look at your child tomorrow morning. He said, no way, is it not my child? I said, you don't have control over this one. This one is a different one. Because I needed him to, if anything at all, see that in the morning. And by the time he goes through the day with many activities, there will be a dilution of that image. Some activities have to dilute that image. And if I allow you to see it in the evening, you have less activity. That means that in the evening, no. And you will not be able to sleep. So it is important that the time you allow people to assess certain, you know, dangerous information and sight, you time it so that you don't emotionally break news to people and make it difficult for them to handle. Are you here? Because these are the things that call for heaviness. You see that someone is in the night. You can't sleep. Can't sleep. And so in the night, when you have gone through all the day and different activities have, you know, come to dilute the difficult things, if you still cannot have rest in the night, then it's not a small matter. It's not a small matter. Hey. So when the spirit of heaviness projects sadness and sorrows to people, one of the things that it takes their rest away. Praise the Lord. People sleep, they don't have rest of mind. That's you. You can't have peace of mind. Let's sing Mille Mille, because I like that part of it that says grace upon grace. Yes. Sing the Gawan, the Dromo Dromo.
Dromo Dromo. Twenjole, oh,
Miss Obami has caught, you know, because we are speaking her language. Sing it, let's go.
Drama, drama, twin joy, oh, hamija, always you make.
Everybody, come on. Upon grace, come on.
Grace upon grace, peace of mind. You give me joy, and I do make a way. Oh, I know,
Jesus.
again. Come on. Can you say grace upon grace of mine? Say, he gives me joy, he gives me joy. I can't hear you. Say grace upon grace. Say grace is upon my life. And I walk from grace to grace. There is grace upon grace. Hallelujah. Is it a blessing already? Jeremiah chapter 45 verse 3. Jeremiah 45 verse 3 says that, thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. He said, I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Can we read it from the message? I fainted in my sighing, and I have no rest. Say, you say, these are bad times for me. It is one thing after another. God is piling on the pain. He said, I'm worn out. And there is no end in sight. So here we see also scripture. What I want us to take from it is the connection between sorrows and the fact that you have an endless sigh that never gives you a relief. In the King James, it says that I fainted in my sighing. And normally when you sigh, you just sigh a sigh of relief. But he said, I fainted in my sighing and I still did not find rest. The thing that was producing that unrest is called sorrow. Say, he has added grief to my sorrow. That's when you take the regular sadness into a higher dimension where now pain and hurt is entering into that soup. When grief enters sorrow. Yeah, because I mean, when you hear that someone died, you'll be sad, even if he's your enemy. But the one that is affected will not just be in sorrow, will not just be sad. That one will be in grief. It's another level. It's the personal loss and the value that loss brings to you and the pain, the hurt that it brings to you will make you lose your rest. So, once this state is attained, find out that people lose their rest. People will not be able to contain themselves again. So you are trying to, even when you are trying to bring yourself together, it becomes very, very difficult. Put your hand on your head. Say, Father, help me in these kinds of situations. Can I hear you? Say, Father, I need your help to be at rest. Say, let the spirit of heaviness never arrest me. Say, I come out from every form of heaviness in the mighty name of Jesus. Say, no sorrow will take over my life perpetually in the mighty name of Jesus. One more time. Say, no sorrow will take over my life perpetually in the mighty name of Jesus. Say it again. Say, no sorrow will take over my life perpetually in the mighty name of Jesus. Clap your hands and bless the Lord. Job says something in Job 39. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 4. In Job 39, verse 1 to verse 4, Brother Job said, knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or can thou mark when the hinds go do calve? Then he says something. Look at that. He said, can thou number the month that they fulfill? Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? Verse 3 says, they bow themselves. They bring forth their young ones. They cast out their sorrows. Their young ones are in good liking. They grow up with corn. They go forth and return not unto them. I like the verse 3. It says that they bow themselves. In all the pain, it's just likening the sorrow to what a woman goes through in labor. Likening to what an animal goes through in labor. He said that there are seasons that people are pregnant. Animals get pregnant and it's a mystery. But there is also, and that pregnancy, I mean, if you have been, you know, privileged to carry a pregnancy, you find out that it's different dynamic. He says that it can be that painful. In Genesis, he says that the lady, the woman will bring forth her children in sorrow, in pain. So you don't enjoy pregnancy. Pregnancy is not enjoyable. It's a good thing, but it's not enjoyable. And if the issues surrounding it, you know, they are negative to it, even adds to the sorrow. But he says that in the normal course of pregnancy, when it's time to deliver, he calls it, they cast out their sorrows. That means that the pregnancy itself is a load, is a burden that introduces that discomfort to people. But God has arranged that for everyone who gets pregnant, there's a time where you download the pregnancy. There's a time where you are able to cast out the sorrow, cast out what you are pregnant with, so that you have relief. Are you here at all? Yes, now. I've been to hospital at least 4 times. At least. All our kids, by the grace of God, when co-pastor would deliver them, she said, that's it, but she would go again. She would go again. They say, that's it, but they go again. That's it, but they go again. That's it, because, you know, the thing is so heavy that when you now deliver, you think it's, you know, you just, you cast it out. And then you have energy to start another one. But the reason why I'm saying this scripture is that some people have been pregnant with the burden of sorrow for life. I was studying about the dynamics of sorrow, and the Lord was saying that I will make you lie down in sorrow. Some people, they are state of posture, permanently, permanent state of posture, whether emotionally or whatever, is that they lie down in sorrow. They don't come to this season where they bow themselves and bring forth, give birth to whatever is burdening you. It's making you have sorrow. There's a way you deliver it, you cast it out, and then you are free. God has even arranged that the pregnancy must come out in 9 months. And this mountain goat or whatever that Job is using for an illustration, I don't think their pregnancy is 9 months like human beings. Every pregnancy based on the species determines the time they deliver it. Ask somebody, what kind of species are you? It's your own 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Jesus said, don't let the sun go down. Your own, what is it? Is it 9 months or 2 years or 10 years? Or your own is perpetual pregnancy. I've not seen anybody who gets pregnant forever. No animal gets pregnant forever. Are you here at all? So if you cannot deliver it as a way, the way they call it, naturally yourself, then we have to surgically bring it out. Or else, it may cost your life. Are you here? So ask someone this morning, are you doing it yourself or we have to do surgery for you? Please don't lie on me. Don't be gentle on me, because I know you are not gentle. When you live here, you are not gentle at all. Ask somebody your own. Are you delivering yourself? Or we have to do surgery for you? I think many people need CS this morning. that you have come here carrying the sorrow that has led into bitterness, that has taken your rest away, you need help. Praise the Lord. And the recognition of this help is key to being free. Last Wednesday, we were talking about bitterness. How you can eat poison and expect someone else to die for it. Unforgiveness. And I like people who hurt us and offend us. I really like them. Most offenders live their lives so. They are enjoying life so that you will suffer. And if you see, like my dad. My dad. He said in J.J. Rawlings' time, when he caused the revolution, he was one of the soldiers. Like, he really believed in the guy. So my dad has some mark be here. He says, hey, they were so happy, they fought, and then he got an injury by, you know, just overthrowing whatever then. He got an injury by, you know, they are informal fighting. You know. Then, around 1990 thereabout, there was a massive redeployment from the, I think, the structural adjustment program, and then my dad was affected. So he came home. From that time, he never forget J.J. Rawlings. He never forgave him. If we were watching news and J.J. came on, bam, TV is gone. And we're one of the few people who had the black and white Sanyo television in that compound house. So many people will be watching news. Then in the next news, Flight Lieutenant J.J. Rawlings, bam. J.J. is our time, not bad news. No, can we hear you among society? Doom TV, no? Yeah, my father said, why are you watching him? No, it's small matter. J.J. will be giving his speech. My father will be suffering for it. The things that hurt you and the people that hurt you, they are living their lives. The situations that have hurt you, they will continue to exist. You have to make a decision to know a better way of responding to this existence of phenomenon. Better way of responding to the situation. Better way of responding to such people. Praise the Lord. The situation will reproduce itself in all the spaces you go to. And those people, even if it's not the specific exact person, they will be reproduced in characteristics of other people in the different spaces you go into. That's why you will see someone that resembles someone that hates you. Or an attitude of someone that resembles someone that laugh. You, as I'm talking, you are very angry. That one Elizabeth broke your heart, and you have met another Elizabeth in your workplace. Some of you are lecturers marking papers, and you are marking people with hard hand because he bears the name of the girl that broke your heart. But that's what Teresa Bebre said here. Maybe I'll be Fabia, Teresa. This always and what are you going to do? Let somebody have a better response and deliver this pregnancy. It cannot go past 9 months. It cannot go past it. There's a season for the casting out. Cast it out. And you find out some people, when it's time to cast out, they don't want to push. Hey. And the pregnancy will be there and the husband will be suffering. I mean, I've been in labor with James twice. Their first child, I was at the hospital. We were there. He was there. The wife suffered. And then now, after a long time, the baby now came out. When we were having our first child, we were there in the night. The baby refused to come. I said, God, I take God, beg you. Then in the morning, I went home. And then my wife called me. He said, okay, so I said, how many centimeters? The dilation. And she mentioned, I said in my head, God, I beg. Then he said, what are you people doing? Then I started scratching my head. Yeah, because I went there and I told myself, we fasted that day before. We prayed, this Shekinah will not come out. And I had a program in Ho to preach Friday, Thursday. We fasted though Friday. I'm saying Cape Coast. Now what? So in the morning I went home. Me and the guys, we prayed. Then she called, then he said, what are you people doing? Blah, blah, blah. I said, baby, come. No. I told them, let's eat. Let us eat. Someone say, heat. Let's eat. If prayers refuse to answer this thing, enjoyment will answer this thing. So when mommy called, me and the boys were eating kenke, egg and pepper and all of that. We were eating with chicken. We were just eating. He said, what are you people doing? I said, we are eating. We are eating kenke. He said, hey, I'm suffering. And you are eating. I asked, am I a doctor? Give birth and let us go and see this baby. What are you talking about? You can't be there. You just be there. I ate when I got full. I went to the hospital again. When I went, she met me with that same conversation again. So I'm here, I'm suffering. And you went to eat. I said, so that I'll get energy to come and support you. Heat. Don't die. One lady whose child died. I went to the house with Evans. Only child. When I went, like, she's not eating for she's, the friends are there commiserating with her. I went and so how are you? Blah blah. How is my friend? The husband is my friend. How's my friend? He says he's asleep. How are you? Have you eaten? Family were there, blah blah blah. I remember they have not eaten. And the funeral was like 2 weeks. I said, wow. So me, as I went there and I asked them, I said, what's there? I went to the kitchen. I said, who is there? I called my friend, the pastor, his sister. I said, go, do this thing for me. Fry egg, four, chicken, this, do, blah, 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 blah. Set the table. I had gone to preach somewhere very close to them. And they set the table. I said, so all of you here, you are not eating. Then I attacked the woman. I said, everybody will say you are a witch. You, Nanka Sampuni, you are a witch. He said, why? My child has died. You have come to my home. He said, I'm a witch. I said, you are a witch. And in 2 weeks' time, it will be confirmed that you are a witch. He said, why? Why are you saying that? The people there in their hall. I said, how is it possible that you have lost your only child? And 2 weeks to the funeral, you are not eating. I said, on the day of the funeral, by now you ought to have eaten to gain enough strength so that on the day of the funeral, you will be able to cry where everyone will know that you really lost your child. And this one that you are not eating, by the time we get to the funeral, you'll be so weak and emaciated that when you are calling for the weeping cry, it will not be coming. No, you are afraid of being called a witch. The things that hurt you, if you don't develop a better way of responding to it, the thing may not go. It may not leave. If you lose someone, you've lost. I mean, there's no way you can replace the one you have lost, but you can develop a better way of responding to the loss. Am I talking to someone now? Things have made you sad. Men made you sad. Will you not see men again? Women made you sad. You'll see women again. They sack you from work. Won't you work again? Yeah, people die. People will always die, unfortunately. So we have to develop a better response mechanism to the things that will keep hurting us. As I'm talking right now, if you are not fortunate, your spouse can be infidel towards you. And after many years of staying with him or her, they can turn to another person, unfortunately. And you cannot die with someone's choice, someone's decision that has been taken. You would think it's against you, but sometimes it's not against you. Sometimes an enzyme in them is looking for something. And they didn't cheat on you thinking that you are not good enough. They cheated on you because the cheat has always been inside them. And you can't put the burden on you. They were born cheat, or they acquired it at some point in time. And they are not cheating because you are not nice or because you are not up to task. They are cheating because something collapsed inside of them. What has collapsed inside of them cannot be your problem. They cannot eat the poison and you die for it. No. Find peace. Tell somebody, find peace. Someone drinks poison and kills himself or herself. Someone commits suicide and then you put the burden on you. There may be, boy. One of the countries that when I just cast my mind to, it gives me so much hope and comfort, is Sierra Leone. You go, people have been given short sleeves, long sleeves. Bad leader. Is it Fode Sankoh? Sure. In Sierra Leone. Fode Sankoh, right? Just cut the hand of people. Cut somebody's hand short. So yes, cut long. Cut leg short. Cut. Bad. So many disability there, not by accident, just by war. Cutting the hand of people, legs of people. Now, these people were not sick. It was not some diabetes that they needed to amputate to save life. A wicked person decided to do that thing to them. Children. And all these people have suffered these things. Have not, many of them have lived through what they went through without committing suicide. Then God forbid. A health condition in tea. They say that, oh, they have to cut your leg or cut your hand or remove a breast or remove something. And then, oh, you want to die. This one they are doing to save your life. You want to drink poison and die. Commit suicide and die. Some people, they gave them medicine to sedate them, to harvest a part of their body without their consent. And they decided that if they woke up and they were not dead, they would live through life. So you, that things are being done to save you, you shouldn't die. You shouldn't die. This life is hard, though. Man born of a woman. His days are few, full of afflictions. The Bible said that afflictions will come. He said, I will not put upon you burden that you cannot carry. But in the affliction, in the burden, in the temptation, God is faithful. That he will make a way of escape. Somebody say there's a way of escape. When the spirit of heaviness arrests you with sorrows, you don't see the way of escape. You will just be sitting in a room crying. They have opened window. But because sorrow has overwhelmed you, heaviness has overwhelmed you, you don't see the way. Your brain stops working. Everywhere becomes a dark room for you. You don't see light. You don't see like you lost your capital. You didn't lose you. Yeah, you have to see light. Praise the Lord. Are you here at all? You have to see light. The scriptures makes us understand that some people can allow situations to push them to a point where they develop a sorrowful heart. It's a fixation on things that do not make you happy. You got it? Yeah. And when you have this sorrowful heart, it begins to give you some effect. It begins to give you some effect. But let me even just mention the sorrowful heart in scripture. Proverbs 15 verse 13. Proverbs 15, 13. It says that a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. How does the heart become sorrowful? How does the heart become sorrowful? This is when the heart begins to fixate on things that are negative, that are not praiseworthy. Are you here with me? It begins to fixate on ruins. We learned last week that when there are ruins, damages, you find out that a sorrowful heart begins to emerge. It takes away that cheerful countenance. So hardly do you see someone who has a deep lying sorrow with a bright countenance. Even if they are beautiful, you see that it's like a light has been turned off. I'm going to meet doomsday. And your color cannot come. Your brightness cannot shine. Charlie, people cry because you don't have any other window or compartment of thinking. All your fixation is on what makes you unhappy. Once that is there, you find out that, boy, your heart is unable to become happy. And the Bible says, guard your heart. Out of it comes the issues of life. Are you here at all? Come on now. Are you sure you are here? If you read scriptures, you find out that the Bible says that when hope is deferred, the heart will become sick. So hope deferred makes the heart what? Oh, talk to me now. Why? You won't talk to me again. Tell somebody, hope deferred. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 12. Proverbs 13 verse 12. Look at that. It said, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Can we read it in the message? In the message, it said, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick. But a sudden good break can turn life around. A sudden good break. Yeah, sometimes give yourself the opportunity to enjoy Manchester United scoring a goal. Even though the Europa Cup has gone. Yeah, just give yourself opportunity. Now we share a screen in the team. You are sad that sometimes you can grieve more than the one who is even bereaved. Now how? Tell somebody, cool down. Give yourself a break. I can't hear you. Tell somebody, give yourself a break. A sudden break. Find something legitimate in God, in your environment, that gives you joy. Once you find that, sometimes it doesn't have to be a very serious something. It may be just playing with children. Are you here? You are too serious. Unrelenting disappointment. You can't deal with it with just focusing on that unrelenting, because another one is coming. It's unrelenting. The tap has been opened. It's a hope deferred. Make the heart sick. You have made all the calculations with this contract that is yet to be signed. Then a new boss has come. He said, come on, Fabi Piantrinche. And one say, me woo. Nia. Forgive. Chale. Boy, then one nantia and welcome another girl. God, this morning, I take God beg you. Chale, some people lost their laughter. Banka, you are a very nice person, Bia. A very sweet. Do you know that the next person who is going to be attractive or who is going to pay attention to you is going to need your original you. Your sweet you. That is what is positively infectious and draws people to you. But you can make situations beat your vessel until all the sweetness in you leaks away. So amakako. Kweku finchem. Once we encounter you, we know we have encountered the reincarnation of Satan. There's nothing great in you to be desired. You see, when you have unfulfilled desires, it can make you develop a sick heart. It can make you develop a sorrowful heart. When negative things keep happening around you, you will begin to develop, you even begin to feel, am I cursed? Then you become sick, not even just because of what is happening to you, but a new nature you have come to accept that maybe because I'm cursed, that is why these things don't work in my life. Then you become sad that when you cry, you're promising me, it will also fail because I am cursed. So once you develop a sick heart gives room for opportunistic sicknesses. So by the time you know, no, I am cursed, will enter in opportunism. By the time you know, no, witches are doing me in opportunism. By the time you know, no, but it is just things happening. And if it's not happening now, a season will come where you won't do anything, good things will happen. And you will find out that all this while you were not cursed before. But because you have a sick heart, you miscarry every good thing coming your way. Some people can be pregnant and maybe they have suffered miscarriage before. Every day they wake up, I hope I don't miscarry this one. Oh. I hope I don't miscarry this. But as your mind is telling you, as your mouth is saying, your mind is telling you, your whole system hormonally begins to channel in a certain way. And so it begins to put pressure on the pregnancy that maybe they are waiting for you to come out prematurely. By the time you know, pregnancy will come out from a sick heart. From a sick result. You just give in to opportunism. You can be on YouTube and then you carry somebody's negativity into your own space. You see somebody's mother, you start crying as if eyes move you. And you begin to program how all this thing is going to happen to you. How this thing is going. Tell somebody, cast it out, cast it out, cast it out. Come on now, tell someone, cast it out. Hope deferred. Unfulfilled desires. I have a desire to marry at 28. Now I don't even have a job. I'm a man, I'm 40, I'm not married. Then when you come to church, the pastor will be preaching and calculating some things for you. Now that you are 40 and you are not married. If you marry even in the next 1 year, you are 41. Your wife gets pregnant immediately. By the time your child is born, you are almost 43. Then we'll project the insurance calculation for you. By the time your child is 10 years, you are 53. Are you here at all? By the time your child is 15 years, you are 58. Almost in your retirement, your child has now gotten to secondary school. That's how your heart will not be at rest again. Will not be at rest because of a sick heart. So when we have been saying good things, a sick heart will take it and swallow it in a negative light. Are you here at all? But if you are 40 and you are not married, this is where you are. Accept it. and know that this is your reality. If you believe in God that he is the one who is going to intervene for you, then he's going to give you unusual supernatural help. Even in the care of your children, the delivery of your children. He said, 40 men who ye me oba. I mean, my chances. No, children, they are given by God. There are people who are 45 years doing family planning. They are afraid to get pregnant. You can don't. Yes, the medical is there, but don't let that one-sided knowledge be the reason why you lose your rest. Because 50-year-olds are getting pregnant. One professor that came to my service like that, I was saying, her last baby, she gave birth. She said, Pastor, I'm 50, it's your fault. Prophecy was too much. Fire, like that. He said, so when she comes to my meeting and make declaration, she listens to it, processes it, before she shouts, amen. So she didn't do it out of whims and caprice again. Because she caught pregnancy that she was not ready for. People are catching pregnancy at 50. You can be 33 and you're already worried. You are developing a sick heart. Why never worry me? Okay, me fancy my worry. Now my chances of getting pregnant. And then they say you have fibroid and you went to the hospital and the doctor says that you have to give birth immediately. That one. Find somebody. Did they find somebody? Kai God, I beg. Find somebody. So you see people finding just anybody. And then you have just now entered into real shaky, real wahala. From that person coming to now add all manner of baller life into your next level. You see woman, you have gotten pregnant for a non-entity, an inconsequential being, a person without direction, focus, a visionless man who is looking for a woman to take care of, and he will become a dead weight, not just even a bed, a dead weight on you. Because they told you that find someone, and that's the one you found. Tell somebody, heaviness will not take over your life. Tell somebody, I see you out right now. Tell somebody, find a way to plug in your joy. One more time. Tell somebody, find a way to plug in joy. So when you come to church and we are dancing, find a way to dance. Find a way to what? I'm not hearing it. Tell somebody, find a way to be happy. Boy. Find a way. Isaiah 35 verse 10. Joy. Say joy. Come on, someone say joy. Let's read it. Isaiah 35 verse 10. One, go. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with what? Songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. He said, they shall obtain joy and gladness. Say, I shall obtain joy and gladness. Say, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Are you seeing what I'm seeing there? Once you obtain joy and gladness, sorrows and sighing shall flee away. That means you have to replace your sorrows and sighing with something. Replace, and the thing scripture is telling us to replace sorrows and sighing with is what? Joy and what? Gladness. It said the redeemed of the Lord shall return. The ransomed of the Lord. Please, that same scripture. They shall return and come to Zion, come to church, the presence of God, with songs. How do you obtain this gladness and joy? He said, with songs, everlasting joy, testimonies of joy. I don't know how you had one miscarriage and now you are pregnant again, and on YouTube the videos you have decided to watch are miscarriage videos. Why won't you watch how to keep a pregnancy video? Keeping a pregnancy in difficult situations. Why won't you watch success stories? Are you?
You have closed already.
You are watching how people's businesses collapse. Do you want your business to collapse? Why won't you watch success stories? Joy must enter you. The Bible said that for the believer, we would draw with joy from the wells of salvation. Is that not so? He said, anything you want to collect from the table of the Lord, one of the requirements is that you must have joy. With joy, we would draw. Say, I will draw. It means that in the spirit, you go fishing with joy. You go hunting with joy. You would draw. You go to the bank. Like your ATM in the spirit is called joy. If you want to plug into God's cash machine, you must have what? You must have joy. Once you obtain joy and gladness, he said, sorrow and sighing will leave you. Tell something. This thing is obtainable. It's not coming automatically. Find the God way of bringing joy to your whole heart. Tell somebody, find a godly way. I learned that one of the things sorrows will do is that it will connect you. I call it the associate of sorrow. One of the things that one of the associates of sorrow is darkness. One of the associates that I saw that I will talk about is drunkenness. How people begin to feel like drinking alcohol when they are deeply sad. Bonaditi. Why is Sabukoni? I saw my father booze. There's no glory for any drunkard. Obtain joy. Find joy. Find joy with your wife. Yeah, find joy with your husband. Find that joy.
Now, wow. This week I saw one brother ask you, how much is your salary? He said, 4K thereabout.
I said, every time you are like that. And I pointed to him, many people in this church who collect 2.5, 2K, bankers. You see bankers dressed? Just watch money for people. Many of them who are in the popular stance are poor. If you are going to be a banker, I pray for you that you go into top management where the meat is around the bones. But it's God, I tell God, beg you for bankers. People don't collect. Woo. See, people who were, I pray for bankers, you make it. Recently, they mentioned how people are paid for cleaning around. Kai, God, I beg. And you collect 4K, and you can't find your left from your right. You have to find. You have to find. You have to take joy. Do you understand? People who have more responsibilities are collecting 1,005, and they are happy and thankful to God. You are collecting 4K into depression.
Now, wow.
Tell somebody, obtain joy, obtain joy, obtain joy. I know you have dreams, but obtain joy. If this is what you have and if this is where you are, don't die. Don't what? Don't die. I wish my husband was a rich man. It will come now. I wish my wife was able to give me doggy.
Hey, everyone stand up and warn somebody. Hey. Catch and say, you're talking, you had to call heaven.
Stop this. A every time you are sad because of a doggy style you don't have. You are a missionary by calling. Face your front. What kind of life is that? Rise up here. Let's praise the Lord here. God punish the devil. What you have or you don't have doesn't define who you are. There is a God in you. Christ in me is the hope of glory. God punish them. Tell somebody you are the next testimony we are going to share. You yourself, you are the testimony we are going to share in this house. Whatever you don't have now, you are going to have it in abundance. Tell somebody, obtain joy, obtain joy, obtain joy. With your life right now. This life that Christ has given you. Obtain joy and gladness. Praise the Lord. Can you clap your hands and bless the Lord? God, I beg you for ending the message like that. Just forgive me. But we are your children and we are in your presence. Let it rain. Tell somebody, how are you feeling? Ask somebody, how are you feeling? Are you feeling lighter? Are you feeling better? Feeling lighter, better? You have better hope, better life? The world has not come to an end. Praise God. What a joy. I'd like you to lift up your hands. I want you to thank the Lord for the hope that is in Christ. The hope that is in Christ. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Father, we honor you. Father, we praise you. Open your mouth and begin to give him thanks. Philippians 4:4 says that, Shatai, say, rejoice in the Lord always. Lift your hands and say, Father, I rejoice in you because you are my God. I rejoice in you because you are my Father. I rejoice in you because you are my Maker. I rejoice in you because you have a great plan for my life. I rejoice in you because your plan for me is not dependent on the happenings around me. It's not dependent on what people do to me or don't do for me. But your plan for me is dependent on your will for me. I thank you that you have a plan for me. I thank you that your plan for me is comprehensive. Your plan for me is strong. Your plan for me is powerful. Open your mouth and bless the Lord. Come on now. Come on now. Raise your hands. Come on. Do it. Open your mouth. Say, Father, I thank you that I am complete in you. I am whole in you. I am happy in you. I am joyful in you. Rebo Setelima Rose. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, we bless you. Father, we honor you. Father, we praise you. Father, we give you glory. Come on, bless the Lord. Now begin to prophesy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The anointing of the Lord is upon me. My life is evolving into a great person, into a manifestation of the glory of God. Can you open your mouth and pray? Come on now. Selo pariazo. Iko ramando kosi pariza etelekele pesose shokle para zutala. Thank the Lord that you are even alive today to hear this. You are alive today because the future is great. She para nananasa. The job is giving you pressure, but thank you for your grace that I'm going to go through it. It's better than being unemployed. It's better than being idle. It's better than not being married. It's better than being dead. A living dog is better. Thank you, Lord, that I am better because I'm alive. Thank him that you see a great future. Come on now, thank him. Shoka paraduse.
Lift your hand and give him praise. Shagada balagada. Thank you, Lord.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Albing on all social media platforms. God bless you.